Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
And we have a thumbs up. So here we are live here on Pet Life Radio and on Instagram Live. Here for you, here for your pets. You know the routine. I've been gone for 2 weeks. Hopefully not too many of you forgot about me. But I'm seeing a couple of people coming on. I'm waving to say hello. You know, we're looking forward to your questions. I always have stuff to talk about. Easy way to get a hold of me. First off, if you're on Instagram, it's just all you got to do is type away. And if you are on Pet Life Radio, again, you can either call us at 877-385-8882. Once again, 877-385-8882. Or since you're here on Pet Life Radio, just again, you can ask to join us here live. That's great. So let's see. I'm saying hello to all. Hope you all had whatever it was for the last 2 weeks, Easter last week and Passover before that. Hope you had a good one. A little family time, always nice. And anyway, now we're back here. And we are Waylon. Hello there. Oh my gosh. Hello, hello. So I always have something to talk about. And it's interesting because actually we just have someone joining us from Utah. So three dogs and their anal glands need expressing. Why does somebody? Okay. So great question. So anal glands. First of all, I have taught many people how to express their pet's anal glands. How many of those people do you think actually do it? None. I would say none. Very few. Why? First of all, if you've ever gotten squirted in the face or somewhere on your body with that anal secretion, and it's going to possibly happen, if you try to do it yourself, it's something you're going to say, I'm never doing this again. I wish I could say that. So it has a lot to do with the food that you're feeding, and there's no rhyme or reason as to what food. The idea is that at the end of a bowel movement, if you really want to get up close and personal with your dog, I don't recommend it. Then you can see at the very end, they give a little squeeze that constricts the anal sphincter all the way. And with that squeeze, it's supposed to release whatever secretion is within that anal gland. Now, just so you know, anatomically, the anal glands sit, if you look at the anus as a clock face, they're like at 4:30 and 7:30. So it's something that the way most people and even groomers do it, which is not the best way, but it's okay, is a squeeze of both around. You have to feel both anal glands. If you gently feel at that area, you kind of feel a little bit of a bulge, a little bit of a swelling. Those are probably the anal glands. You can squeeze them against each other. Don't ever stand behind the dog while you're doing this, by the way. You get to the side. And then that stuff will come out. You can use the recommended using a piece of paper towel or something just to eliminate that spray. I've seen where it sprays literally across a room, and it's the worst smell. It's like a skunk smell. It's a very metallic. It's just really gross. So that's why I don't recommend people doing this at home. But I just say, don't try this at home, folks. You will, chances are, get squirted at some point or have a tough time doing it. Now, even when groomers do it, it's not as effective. Why? Because the technique that actually is better, but one that I'm definitely not recommending, this one, is hopefully you put a glove on. I put a glove on. And people tease me all the time. I do a lot of things without gloves. I said, yeah, there's something amazing. It's called soap and water. And that usually seems to help. But for this one, because the smell is horrendous, you put a glove on and you go. Now, instead of trying to do both, squeezing both glands against each other, you do one at a time. So you take your index finger, which is now in the anus, and the thumb around it, and you squeeze, and then you go to the other side. And some people are really good at going like this, and then going backhand. I'm not, because it's a good to get to that backhand position. You got to move over a little bit to behind the dog. Not for me. So anyway, if you want to be taught how to do it, ask your veterinarian or one of your vet nurses, and they can easily walk you through it. It's not that difficult. It's just that it's pretty, pretty gross. Hello, Stephanie. So anyway, again, I have shown people how to do it. For those of you just joined, we're talking about an anal glands and how come they fill up and what is it? So back to the diet, some foods, if the anal secretion sits there for too long or it has a little anal plug and isn't allowed to be expressed, then it sits there a lot of the fluid resorbs, which is typical of almost any bodily fluid. And then what's left is the secretion, and now it gets really hard. Once it gets really hard, it's not going to easily come through. So then what happens is, because it can't express by itself, when a dog defecates, then what happens is it gets more and more and more. And then you get really bad anal problems. And then ultimately, if it's still not expressed, then you turn out getting an anal abscess. Anal abscesses are a major relief for the dog. Trust me, they feel so much better. But the stuff, it comes out, it appears a hole in the skin right above the gland at that level. And it is really, and it's ugly. We have to anesthetize. We have to put a drain in. You don't want to get an anal abscess. And there are certain dogs or dogs that have problems, consistent, persistent problems with anal gland filling up, expressed impaction. Sometimes there's surgery, believe it or not, that we can actually remove the anal gland itself. It's kind of like removing a skunk's gland. So it can be done. It just needs to be done by someone who is very, very experienced. Why? Because you've got to be very careful not to disrupt the sphincter muscles around the anus, or else that dog won't be able to do that squish anymore and control their feces, and that could be a disaster. So if you're going to do it, make sure your veterinarian knows how and what he or she is doing, or refer to a veterinary surgeon, but it's good. All right. Anyway, any other questions? I've got a lot of people joining on. My sister said, okay, next question. All right, B. So give me something to talk about. All right. While you're thinking or getting the courage to ask me something, two things I wanted to talk about. I saw a puppy, really cute little puppy, a week and a half ago. And I'm looking at the papers, and it said the dog was 13 weeks old. There's no way this dog was 13 weeks old. So I asked to see the papers and what they did, any vaccines. And they gave one set of vaccines. This dog, at this point, had to be maybe 8 weeks. I said, how long have you had the dog? She goes, oh, 2 weeks. Well, first of all, so here's what got me thinking. And I've seen this before, and this is a warning for all of you. In many, many, if not approaching most states, it is now illegal to have pets in a pet shop, all right, new puppies or kittens. Why? Because they know that historically, these have been coming from puppy mills. And they're trying to actually stop out the puppy mills because the puppies that are coming from these places are really of poor quality. They're not cared for well, et cetera. So when I saw this from a breeder, now legitimate breeders are fine. So first thing I said, I right away knew you can't ship a puppy across states unless it's at least 8 weeks. So they automatically, they want to get rid of them, these puppy mills. So they work with what they call a puppy broker, a middle person. All right. But now what's happening is that broker is now a breeder. So they are getting these dogs from mills somewhere in the Midwest or wherever. All right. They're shipping them way too early. And then they're selling them as if they were the breeder. So simple question I asked, which is a very appropriate question, is, if it's a breeder, okay, what would you expect to see at that home when you go pick up your puppy? At least mom, right? And maybe some litter mates. So they say, oh no, it's the last litter, but where's mom? We sold her to. BS, okay? They don't have mom, they don't have dad. Now, sometimes the male comes in from another, like a show dog. So the males, they get to bounce around. I can buy not having a male there, but how do you not have on an supposedly eight-week-old puppy, and you're taken away from mom, and you don't have mom there? It was too fishy. Nothing was right. And I told her, can I see the paperwork? And it came from somewhere in South Carolina, or I don't know, somewhere. I said, no, you were had. Now, fortunately, this puppy was in good shape. But just what I'm saying is be really, really careful. All right. If you want to get a bred dog, okay, they should have thank you. So this comes from aerotsiv.com. Help me on that one. But anyway, yes. Breeders should always have the right info on mom and dad. Back in the day, when we got our first dog, and my sister Bethany remembers this one, his name was Thor, he had sheets a mile long of all the champions in his breed line. It was unbelievable. That should be available. And when it's not, or they can't even show you mom, then that's a big red flag. And then another question to ask, I really like to follow up on the health. So can you give me the name of your veterinarian? No. If you have a well-bred puppy and we're working with a real legitimate breeder, So, I see. So that's Victoria backwards. That's great. So thank you, Victoria. You are correct. So if you are, you know, dealing with a legitimate breeder, then they are going to have a veterinarian. Not only will they have a veterinarian, they won't have to look up the number. They will know, just like hopefully my clients know my number. They just know it. They know the name and number immediately. Why? Because legitimate breeders need a veterinarian. So when you don't get anyone who does not show a dog and breed a female 2 to 3 times at most, they're either backyard breeders or puppy mill. Because the breeder makes you fill out an application and they have a legitimate doctor testing. Thank you, Eloise. And this is true. So I just want you to beware. You got to be careful out there, okay? If you don't want, I mean, of course, my first choice, and I got 5 of these, adoption or rehome, things like that, shelters, rescues. You hear that LA now, they're looking at cutting funding on some of our top shelters, East Valley, West LA, and Downey. And I mean, first of all, they're already in miserable shape. They need help. Now they're going to shut them down. So what's going to happen? There were 6 LA City shelters. Okay, so now there are 6, down to 3. So what's going to happen? All the dogs are in there are going to be now going into the already overcrowded other 3. What happens in shelters, especially city shelters, when there's overcrowding? Who loses? Do we lose? In a way, we lose because we don't get to choose. But no, the puppies lose because now they put them to sleep. So I don't understand the logic. If anything, they should be putting more money into them, helping them, cleaning them up, and become even more adoptable. You know, when I think of, and here another comment from Eloise. Now, Eloise, I got 2 of my rescues are from Eloise. Just so you know, Vicky's great. But I'm not against a true breeder. I don't want to see breeds disappear. No legitimate breeder meets you in a parking lot, which is so true. So you really have to, again, from Some Hot Stuff, adopt. Yes, all of us, I think, could agree. My dogs are so adorable, and not one was a bred dog. So you know what? You can get fantastic. And I just saw a dog the other day that looks like a 100% pure Australian Shepherd. I mean, it looked like it came out of an Australian Shepherd, you know, cover of the Australian Shepherd book, right? And I said, oh my God, this dog is beautiful. Where'd you get it? The shelter. You see what I mean? You can get great, great dogs. And a lot of the rescues, and they're also, of course, breed rescues. So you can go to as well to see that much breed rescues. From Ivy Blue Eye, LA County is not staffing their shelters for 40 hours due to the labor union strike. One staff member, all right, for over 300 dogs. That's county, not city, but still. Any other questions or comments? Love your comments. Let other people see this because it's terrible for the dogs. Already, it's tough enough, but to cut down the amount of shelters in half, that means doubling the dogs in the available shelters that are still in operation. What's going to happen to these dogs? You know what's going to happen to them. So anyway, so you know the goal here, let's shut down the illegitimate, the puppy mill breeders. They are not doing any service to anybody. You want to breed, do your homework. There are many really legitimate good breeders out there. You know, again, for the more popular dogs, there are more of them. Yes, is it more expensive? Yes, it's going to be. But you're going to get a better quality dog. Or for saving lives and putting a big smile on your face, go to a shelter, go to a rescue. There are really, really great dogs out there. All right, we're going to break. When we come back, I want to talk. Hold on, my dog's an Akita. He was a rescue. That's not a breed you see every day, but he was a stray. You see? And that's true. You recommend or believe in CBD. All right, we'll get to 4th of July coming up. We may have to do that one next week, but I want to talk about summertime, warm weather, and get you sort of accommodated some tips to you so you know how to protect your pets during the hot weather. Don't go away. We're coming back after these short brief messages from Pet Life Radio. Don't go away.
Oh, sure. It's all fun and games until someone ends up in a cone. That's right. We're animals. Deal with it. Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hey, we're back here live on Pet Life Radio as well. We're just starting to talk about summertime and that the increased heat coming across the country, what we're going to see. I would have known it yesterday. It was pouring rain yesterday here in LA, but it's a nice day today. So, okay, the important thing is most of us sit around a little bit more during the winter, okay? Put on those extra few winter pounds. And guess what? Because of that, it happens to dogs as well. So we want to get them back in shape. We want to get them exercising. You're going to see longer days. It's really nice. It's great. Let's go. Let's do it. You know, you get into the south and the southeast with the humidity, even up in the northeast, it's hot all day and night. So it's like, what do you do? And what does it mean if your dog is in pain and then acts fine a day later? We'll talk about that. So one of our visitors here is at veterinary school at Midwestern University in Arizona. Give me a thumbs up. Let me know how things are going. So yes, no dog should be outside alone during the 4th of July. So anyway, well, we're going to putting things, two things together here. You're going to get me crazy. So, all right, firstly, so you want to slowly get back into the grind, okay? So you don't want to like do it all of a sudden. Well, I haven't, it's like me. I had screwed up my knee. I played basketball Tuesday nights. And I got to tell you, I was not in good shape last Tuesday. It took me, I got 15, 20 minutes to start to get moving again. And my shot came back. You lose it if you don't use it. And that's kind of what happened. So that's what happens to our dogs. So first of all, when you want to get back onto the exercise regimen, you want to do it gradually, okay? Now, also, as it gets hotter and warmer, you got to remember a few things. Number one, most of our dogs, especially dogs that run with us, hike with us, whatever, they love it, okay? So they love us and they will keep up with us regardless. So if they haven't done it all winter and now you're running them out again, you got to go slow because they're going to keep up with you and they're going to overheat. Also, you want to make sure you do it early in the morning and later in the evening. You don't want to do it midday. That is basically a potential disaster, all right? They say it's a recipe for disaster. And if you're hiking and you're somebody far away, that's even worse because then you're not going to be able to provide help right away. So when you're exercising, make sure you have water available at all times. Make sure you stop frequently for rests in the shade, okay? And read your dog. Read the panting, read the dryness of the mouth, read the tongue color. I mean, these are things you have to get used to seeing and you don't want to run them, exercise them midday. Another thing you got to be careful, their feet. You know what? On a hot day, I want you to take a walk on black asphalt barefoot. See how it feels, okay? You'll see, it's not good. It hurts. Same thing with dogs. And then when they're running on it, or running on an aggressive pavement like surface, like gravel or even pavement or cement, like what's on sidewalks, it can actually abrade their, especially at the beginning, because by not running at all during the middle of the winter, their feet kind of soften up a little bit. You got to get them back to callus, get them a little thicker and more, you know, heavy duty so they can handle that. So again, these are things that you need to do to slowly get them back into the exercise routine and keep it safe. And remember another thing, in areas where it gets really hot, like Arizona, okay, that pavement, that maintains its heat for hours, even after the sun goes down. So a good idea, if you're in areas like that, or even here, wherever it's hot, you can get little booties and you put the booties on and the dogs, it protects their feet, both from the heat and also from the abrasive action of the surface that they're running on. And remember also, when you're going to put the booties on that are like all like leather, or that rubber stuff, which is fine. They don't breathe well. You do not want to keep them on your dog's feet all day. It's only for the exercising, okay? The ones that breathe are the ones that may be knitted on top, all right? Or have a mesh on top, but the bottom is the rubber, you know, pad protectors. You can also get these little adhesive strips that go on the pad. I think one is called paw protectors. I don't know. Look it up. Paw protectors. You stick them on the feet, they adhere, okay? They can stay on. Oftentimes after a day, a couple of days, they'll fall off on themselves anyway, by themselves. But they're also effective and they're not getting in between the toes. They're not, you know, changing things around. So, you know, it's good. Now, what about water? When your dogs need water, they get really, really thirsty. You got to be careful because yes, you can actually get water intoxication. If you give too much water, okay, some of it will obviously urinate out, but it also can, believe it or not, cause some brain swelling. So it's very, very important. And then when you look at ocean water, and right now we have a comment from Roland, and that is Roland is saying, what about ocean water around LA? So with the, first of all, you have the algae. That's very important. We have a lot of dolphins that are dying and sea lions, whales. You get really careful. Blue-green algae is potentially toxic. But also ocean water. Ocean water is salt, has a lot of salt content. So when you ingest a lot of salt, it retains the fluid. When it gets into the bloodstream in the brain, okay, it causes brain swelling. So these are all things, simple things you just got to be aware of. If you have a dog that loves being in the ocean, be really careful. If you love a dog that also the sand. You're playing fetch in the sand, okay? They pick up that ball or that frisbee. I want to know what dog, before they put it in their mouth, they wipe off the sand. Don't. So what happens is they ingest it. And ultimately, if they get too much in any one time, it doesn't mean one bite or one chew. It means one afternoon, they can get what's called sand impaction. And that is often a surgical disease too. Elkanon says he's got his puppy Crocs. They have little holes in them. So Adam, hello. Adam's here. Adam, number one veterinarian, the best. So Adam, hope all is well. If you have anything you want to add, Adam, chime in. This is a great time. So you got to be careful with too much drinking water, ocean water, which is then very salty, sand impaction. So all these things, this is all possibilities when it comes to hot weather. We're out with our dogs, we're running them, we're hiking them, we're having a blast, okay? But there are potential hazards that you need to be aware of and prevent them. I've seen dogs in those 107 temperature, and some of these dogs don't make it because we've got to be really careful on how we cool them down. And even that is a science in of itself. And by the way, things have changed dramatically from the time I started practicing 40 years ago to now how we work with them, huge changes. So now that there's specialties in emergency medicine, critical care, we are learning so much more about things like this. So it's very important. Every morning I have a spoonful of organic coconut oil. My dog is just having some too. How much can she have? Any oils are in small amounts are fine. There's nothing toxic about a coconut oil, but it's all about volume because dogs are very sensitive to pancreatitis. And one of the things that induces pancreatitis is too much fat. So depending on the size of the dog, you want to give a little half a teaspoon mix in with the food, that's fine. But any oils, and that's why a lot of foods that are too fatty often cause pancreatitis, and things that we give our dogs thinking that it's good. Come on, it's a little piece of chicken. Yeah, that little piece of chicken with skin, however, is a little fatty. Or if it's, you know, dark meat turkey, too fatty. Beef, too fatty. Bone marrow, potentially too fatty. So that's why you really want to be careful. Should we keep them out of the LA ocean right now? Yes, I would keep them out of the ocean, LA water. That would be that's important. Now, we have a few minutes to talk about 4th of July, and we'll talk more about it as far as what to do when 4th of July hits to keep your dog safe. But I'm going to do a quick little blurb on how to potentially change your dog's behavior about fireworks. Now, as with anything else, a lot could be harmful, but a little teeny bit is okay. So what I recommend is you can download on the internet. They have sound effects. You can get thunder, lightning. You can get 4th of July fireworks. You can get construction trucks. There's so many things that you can get online. So what I recommend doing is you have your dog with you and you put this on really, really like barely low volume, so low, you probably don't hear it, but the dogs will because their hearing is so much better and they pick up different frequencies than we do. And you just run, you know, maybe 15 seconds of fireworks. Then you call your dog over, you go, it's a good boy. And you give a little treat, pat them, hug them, et cetera. Okay. And you do that. And maybe a day, 2 days later, increase the volume just a little. Okay. And there, you know, hopefully there's no reaction. So now you're rewarding the no reaction and you make a big deal about the reward. Then you crank it up a little bit more. And you get to the point where this could take 2 or 3 weeks, 4 weeks even, which is why actually it was a good point to bring this up now. You can start to desensitize your dog to the fireworks. Now, my dogs have zero reaction. Five dogs, not a one. They're outside even together. When we're all outside, they're with us. They could care less. But I know a lot of dogs really freak out. Same thing with thunder and lightning. My dog, well, we don't get a lot of thunder and lightning here in LA, but we do. And when we do, they could care less. I think it's because we're so noisy at home. They're used to that. It's just more noise. But anyway, so the goal here is to reward the non-reaction. And you can crank that volume. You get to the point where the volume is pretty loud and they're just running to you for their treat. They want a hug. They want a kiss. They want their treat. So it's a different approach. But anytime you're going to do desensitization and counter conditioning, not just desensitize them to the loud sound, but counter condition them to, instead of being afraid of it, don't come and get their treat and get their paws. This is great. That bag noise is coming. I'm going to dad. I'm going to mom. I'm going to get my treat. So it's a very, very effective way to slowly get your dogs to sort of acclimate to the loud sound. And by the way, this works with thunder and lightning too. In fact, I'm sure you know, dogs can actually sense barometric pressure changes. And I'm sure I get so many calls during rainy season, people saying, my dog's acting really weird, hiding under the bed, shivering, shaking. Now, I heard on the news the night before, 2 nights before, that we're expecting a big rainstorm. Well, what happens? barometric pressure drops, okay, the rain comes. And what's often associated with rainstorms? Thunder and lightning. Thunder especially. So they already talk about desensitizing. Now, they're the opposite. They're sensitized because they now make the association when that change in barometric pressure hits, a day or two later comes that loud sound that they're afraid of. So they start shivering and shaking and hiding under the bed just at the beginning, like 2 days early, 3 days earlier. So anyway, and yeah, that's right. Remember, to a dog, food is a paycheck. And this is Eloise, by the way. Ricky's a phenomenal trainer. So when you want to desensitize, you want to treat. You want to make it fun. And also, one of the things, the opposite, and so many of us do, it's really funny. When you're mad at your dog, okay, I always tell people, if you have a negative command, like a no, quit, whatever it is, you don't use their name. Why? Because you've trained them as puppies to, when they hear their name, to come to you so you can give them lots of hugs and kisses. But if they associate their name with a negative, so now when you call them, they're going, oh, what did I do? What did I do? And they run the other way. So, and it's so hard. It's so natural. I do all, Tommy, cut it out. Well, I have to learn to do, just cut it out. Stop, whatever it is. Because you want them to respond favorably to their name. You want them to come when you call their name and you make it a positive attention. So you don't want to associate it with something negative. So that's another little tidbit to keep your thought process going. Anyway, there's a quest to be on live. Lauren, if that is that real, give me a thumbs up and we'll have you come on live. A lot of times people hit that button and they don't really mean to hit that button. But otherwise, you know, I mean, I'm so easy to get a hold of. Anyway, that's all we have time today. I'm celebrating going to my second oldest grandson is turning 6, and we're having a party for him. My kids are throwing a big party for him, and that's it. So, any dog in the Inland Empire, 72. All right, that's a good thing. Some hot stuff. Vicky, I hope you see that. Maybe you can give me some recommendations. Looking for a dog trainer in the Inland Empire, either San Bernardino, Highlands, Redlands area, etc. I will talk to Eloise, Vicky, who's here on the show with us, and I'll try to get a recommendation. All right. Anyway, if you need me during the week, you don't have to wait till Sunday, especially if you have a problem. If you have a problem that's real, just get a hold of me here on Instagram. And also, everyone, those of you on Instagram, I know that people benefit from this because I hear it all the time. If you have friends that have pets that you think could benefit, have them follow me because then they'll get the alert every Sunday morning to come on the show and I can help them out, hopefully. And plus, even, you know, as I said, you don't have to wait till Sunday to get some help if you need your help. All right. And here on Pet Life Radio during the week, Dr. Jeff at PetLifeRadio.com. The messages come to me. I will be happy to answer. Eloise is going to do some research for the trainer in that area. Thank you. Yes, we'll message you, Eloise. Vicky's working on it. Okay, I think that's it. So again, see you next week. We'll talk a little bit more about, as we get closer to the 4th of July, we'll talk about the dogs that didn't acclimate. You've tried this and it didn't work. And they are literally miserable, trying to escape, becoming aggressive, becoming destructive. So we'll talk about it as well. And other than that, guess what? Keith, thanks for joining me. We'll see you guys next Sunday. During the week, if you need me, you know how to get over it. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.